Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota basketball fans, the Living in Loserville podcast returns, a podcast that features a whole lot of rants, recap, debate, and predictions pertaining to our Minnesota Wolves and our Minnesota Gophers. Little NBA and college action. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining me very shortly. Well, on the show today, tonight, I should say, we got a lot to talk about. You know, it's hard not to think of this last week of Minnesota basketball as hell week. It was definitely hell week with those just despicable road losses to Philly, where we just got curb stomped and then got thrashed at Illinois. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So obviously, you know, we're going to talk our Timberwolves and Gophers. We'll lead off with the Timberwolves, then get to the Gophers. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. It's called I'm leaving. Actually, I want to leave. F this. Living in Loserville. And a little while ago in a Facebook group, someone, you know, stated their own opinion about the show Living in Loserville, and their comment was, you know, just the title alone turns me off. I'll never listen to it. And, you know, I replied back and said, that's fair enough, you know, kind of on the, you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but I understand that's your opinion. I respect it. But if this isn't the perfect week, last week, I should say, not this week, we're starting fresh this week. If this isn't the perfect title, Living in Loserville, after Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't know what is. I really don't know what is. So yeah, we're obviously, when we talk Timberwolves, we're going to talk about the last three games. We're not going to spend a ton of time on Philly, I'll tell you that. We'll talk more about the recent games, the Spurs close loss, and then the Suns close win. Cat still very dominant since the last time we talked. Still had some fall issues as well. Welcome back, D. Rose. Had a great game last night. Won the game at the buzzer. And then we're going to preview the games coming up. Timberwolves got a very interesting slash somewhat difficult schedule because it's four games in six nights. Now, as far as Gopher talk, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but last Thursday we got it, or Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. We got to talk about the thrashing that the Illini put on us on the road, just smacked us around. And, you know, luckily on Saturday we did stop the bleeding somewhat with a Penn State victory. Murphy had a monster night. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the road in general. You know, the next two games, we're also going to preview, of course, against Michigan and Iowa. Michigan tomorrow, Iowa on Sunday. Or Saturday, I can't remember. But we got to go back on the road, and we got to go to Michigan. And we've been playing like crap on the road. We're a different team on the road. So that'll pretty much sum up the show. We'll talk topics. We'll talk game talk. You know, notes from the actual games. We'll go back and forth. Some themes that we, you know, that kind of stand out. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Loser Living in Loserville, I can't even talk right now, Living in Loserville podcast, you can find it right here. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/RoboDoRadio. So it streams live and it archives right here. Okay. It's under the RoboDoRadio podcast umbrella. That's basketball, football, and boxing, just so you know. But you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk only. We have a variety of different places where the Living in Loserville podcast exists. Under the RoboDoRadio podcast, you can find it at iTunes. Player FM is another great source. We get a lot of hits from Player FM. It's real easy. A lot of people like that website, as they do with TuneIn. TuneIn, we get a lot. They got a good app, Spreaker, Stitcher, a whole lot of different places. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That can be found everywhere, including on Spotify. That's right. You can stream the show on Spotify and iHeartRadio through the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That's basketball, football, baseball, boxing, and everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. You can, you know, you can listen to the podcast right there as well. You can read an article. They get a lot of different articles, a lot of different sports. Like I said, I do a weekly college picks on there. And then also, while you're at it, you can place a bet. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Head on over to the gruelingtruth.net. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, check his temperature. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. So, yeah, like you said, the week started off pretty tough. Two terrible losses to start off the week, and I was just down about it. By the time the Gophers got done with that thrashing in Illinois, I was just ready to throw my hands up in the air and just forget about it all. I just almost gave up on both squads. But, yeah, I mean, the week sort of mildly improved, and we got a little bit better. A couple tough wins, actually, a couple wins by less than 2 points. So, yeah, I mean, that Sixers game was incredibly embarrassing. You said you didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I just can't get over the fact of how embarrassing that was to go in there. I really thought we'd go in there with some fight, a little bit of passion. Nothing. Got nothing. Just got run over by buckets in the Bucket Bowl 1.0. So I guess we got to look forward to 2.0, but I don't think I've seen a more embarrassing Timberwolves display that I can remember than watching that game against Jimmy Butler and the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, it was disastrous, to say the least. I agree. I'd have to agree. I mean, as far as the worst thrashing ever, 83 points in the first half? I mean, got outscored 40-27, then followed up with 43-31. That's not even that bad of points putting up, but stop somebody. Embiid always loves playing cat. A lot of these bigs do because they say, hey, cat's the pretty boy, huh? They got NBA's got him working in China in the offseason, huh? Okay, we're going to really lay it to him. And it was just, I mean, sure, you could mention a couple of performances, but other than, I mean, there's not much there. D. Rose off the bench was nice. But, yeah, man, that was wow, that was just ugly. Butler doing whatever he wanted. Same with Embiid. Simmons almost got a triple-double. Made him look like he has no problems in his game, which we know that to be not, you know, the case. Obviously, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's got a lot of potential. But he's got, you know, he's got some faults, major faults. So we'll kind of get into the Timberwolves then a little later in the show. We'll talk Minnesota Gophers. We just kind of split that up. Sometimes we'll just go all over the place, and it's really easy to want to just rant about these Tuesday and Wednesday games from last week, man. That was despicable. You know, one team played as if it was the finals, Aaron, and the other team, it was kind of like, well, it's preseason, right? We can just roll up, and it's only one game out of 82. I mean, that's what it felt like. One team took it serious. The other team was just like sheep. They just, we'll just herd over here in the corner.
Yeah, and there was nothing, you know, it didn't seem like there was any energy put towards the matchup. Now, I don't know if they didn't want to challenge Jimmy, thinking maybe, you know, he'd get you know, get off and maybe try not to wake a sleeping giant. I can sort of see that, but to just go out there and to not put up any fight. I mean, they gave a little bit of fight, but not much at all after that first quarter, and they just got run out of the gym. Wiggins was quoted saying, well, it wasn't a usual NBA game. Well, what's a usual NBA game? Do you jog for the first three quarters and then turn it on for the fourth? Is that a normal NBA game? I couldn't believe that quote he had, but I'm just interpreting it the way that I see it. I just can't understand that. Cat, like you said, is just getting his lunch eaten by Embiid again and again and again, and he doesn't seem to mind. And I just don't understand that about Cat and about Wiggins, how they don't seem to mind just getting trounced on a nightly basis. Yeah, Cat put up 13 points in that game, 3 rebounds, Chris. He had 3 rebounds on the night. Now, he was in a little bit of foul trouble, but I mean, a guy like that, 6'10", 6'11", even if you're going against Embiid, you'd think you'd fall backwards into more than 3 rebounds and a couple assists.
Right.
13 points on the night. Wiggins comes up with 12 points and 4 rebounds. Just didn't seem inspired at all. It just seemed like, you know, they wanted to get it over with, and perhaps that's what they want to do, but caused Jimmy to put on a headband. Did you see that the other night where he had the headband on?
Yeah, I did.
It was ridiculous, man.
Yeah, that's funny. It's like they, you're right. It's like they just, I think you pinpointed it because I was just about to say it too. It's just like they just wanted to get it over. Are we done yet? Like, can we just, you know, put up the 10 run home run, you know, 10 run rule or something? Can we get out of here? Because they just, once it was bad, they didn't want to, they were done. They were done. No more competition that night.
No, they wanted no part of it. And, you know, it got 150 points, 149. That's not an even defensive effort. I mean, you score 1-7, so you still score on the ball a little bit, but it was just scattered around. Rose came in, put in 15. You know, Rose is always pretty steady, but if you don't have your two best players, your max contract players coming out every night, it's just starting to get really frustrating, starting to form a pattern here with the squad. It kind of picked up later in the week against the Spurs and the Suns, but I just really wanted to see Wiggins come out and show, and he really didn't show anything at all except for that he wanted to get on the plane and get to the next game or get back home. So I was disappointed in that. Like you said, we'll not spend too much time on it and sort of move on from it. It's just never seen a display like that, especially, you know, when I was thinking that maybe they'd show a little life, but they certainly didn't.
No, not even a little, like you said. Now, things got a little bit better on Friday night against San Antonio. Well, I should say a little bit. We got a lot better if you look at the score and whatnot. It was a pretty closely played game for the most part. We had a little lead. They had a little lead. Some issues, especially in the second half, that stood out. Once again, Cat. You know, Karl Anthony Towns, early in the third, foul problems, picked up his fourth. And in the fourth quarter, you know, he had foul problems. Again, he definitely could have made a difference in the second half, and especially late in the fourth quarter. You got to have your franchise guy on the floor. And we talked about it last week about these fouls and, you know, leading the league in fouls. And it's just, I don't get it. It'd be different if he was leading the league in blocks and kind of like a baseball player. You lead the league in home runs, good chance you're going to lead the league in strikeouts. Okay, well, at least you're doing that. But it's coming up to bite us left and right. And it's funny that the foul issue early in the third, when he picked up that fourth foul, we actually went on a run, got up by 10. We just couldn't sustain it, and that's where Cat comes in, especially in the fourth quarter too. We get a little lead. They'd come back to the pack. Then they got a little lead. And I did like how we kept grinding down the stretch, even though Towns wasn't really able to give enough minutes there and be productive for us. I did like what I saw to make that a much closer game, especially at the end. It got really close. And then, of course, you know, we fell short anyway.
Yeah, we really – you know, and that's a game I really thought that stood out, the absence of Covington. Really stood out. A good quality defensive piece that can come in and rebound, get some shots off, you know, get some shots off rebounds, get some dirty buckets, some steals. I thought that would have really helped that game against the Spurs. I thought that Rose again came out. He's playing well. It's just kind of you find yourself in that position where we need to settle in at that point. Is Rose going to come off the bench? Is he going to play point? To me, he's more of a kind of a combo guard you want to have in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we play a lot of Rose and Tyus, but I thought maybe we could do a little bit of moving around and seeing what we like at the point guard spot there. You know, I think that Cat Aldrich matchup should go Cat's way every time, and I think they were pretty close as far as scoring, but, you know, at the end there, Aldrich got the last shot and went ahead and sank it for the win. And, you know, the Spurs, they seem to just keep retooling. They seem to just find players, fill spots, and find themselves in pretty good position in the Western Conference every year. And kind of makes you think, well, what are they doing that we're not? But that's neither here nor there. I thought that the game kind of went the way it was going to go. I thought they'd pull that out at the end. Like you said, they made a little push. And I really thought that would extend, but the Spurs came out, played a little defense, and that was that.
To the line, a whole bunch the Wolves did, 32 of 38. Shot the ball overall just decently, really bad, though, from 3, 7 of 26 compared to 11 of 24. That was kind of a little bit of a difference maker. And once again, defense, although we played some of it, they shot 50% overall. So it was definitely a lot of foul problems going on. That's for sure. I mean, a combined 60 something free throws. But at least the effort was there. And like I said, to make that nice little run, you know, when it looked like the Spurs had gotten just enough to take it away, and it didn't look like it was going to be necessarily a chance to win there near the end, all of a sudden, in a short amount of time, we were able to, at least make it a very tight game. But in the end, they fell short. It is the Spurs. Like you said, I think not just us, a lot of people are pointing to them saying, hey, what the hell are we doing? That they're not, because they have made the right moves through minor trades, having a guy like Rudy Gay, who was starting to fall off as a high-caliber starter, found a second home. I mean, time after time, they've done that really well. And then early second round, late first round, the guys they've found over the years is pretty silly and impressive when you really look back at it. Last night, we needed to stop the bleeding. The bleeding was, you know, really bad for both sides, really. The Gophers, or both sides, both teams, Gophers, you know, having lost two in a row as well. They did beat the Rutgers. But anyway, now Phoenix at home, that game needed to be a win, period. We still made it ugly. They didn't have their first-round pick, Ayton. He was hurt. Started out pretty bad. Missed, like, three makeable challenge layups early. Bad turnovers. Okoji kind of came out a little too aggressive, like we talked about last week on offense. Picked up two quick fouls. I will say this, though. It did seem like the refs were missing some clear fouls, especially on drives. I think four or five early drives, no call. Two of them on Wiggins. But we were just ice cold from the field. 4 of 16 nearing the end of the first. I think we were down 19 to 14. Really, it seemed like Cat was the only guy starter-wise that showed up. He had 15 fairly early in that game. I think in the first quarter, had a big first half in general, huge first half. But he was like 8-8 from the free throw. I think he got all the way to 10-9, if I'm not mistaken. Suns did lead at the end of that first. Second quarter came around. Suns, you know, made a 12-0 run. Take a 9-point lead real early, and you're like, here we go. This is not good. You know, it's a home game. We need this game. Let's come out and play with some tenacity, like we care. And if you look at the battle of the free throw line early, it was 22-8. Just getting – now, like I said, I do think there was some refs missing, you know, some refs missing some calls, but still, that's what, 12? Then you're still 22-12. And the bench of the Suns had, you know, real quick, like – handful of points right away, and overall, they were just killing us on the bench for a long, I think for the most of the game. Now, we did manage to grind back into it. I think we were still down by 10 with 5 minutes. You did see Cat kind of get it to like 55 to 50, and then at half it was 67 to 64. Gibson had 13 points. Like I said, Cat had 28, I believe, at half, something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the free throw advantage started favoring us. Now the Suns still had it. Big thing at half were fast break points and second chance. And something before I start talking about the second half of the game in general, pass it to you. The fast break points didn't have a fast break point till late in the third, and the second chance points killed us all game. The Suns, I noticed, went to a small lineup, and it messed with us until later in the game as well. So I wasn't too happy with that first half, because it felt like, dude, we got to come out and establish something here. We got to beat this team that's like on their third game in 5 nights or something like that. So I was a little disappointed. I did like how we cut the lead, but I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to happen again. And sure enough, you know, third quarter, boom, they get out to a lead. What'd you think of that first half, though, when they did get up by 10 and kind of held it for a while? It just, like I said, they don't have their number one pick. He's not a great player by any stretch, but it's still a man down. Now, you could say Covington's very important to us. We don't have him. And then, obviously, now another injury with Tyus. Our point guards, we can't keep healthy at one time. But what were you thinking here in the first half and just overall of the game as we break this thing down from last night?
I thought the first half was sort of what you see generally, two teams trying to just kind of get through the first half and work towards the second. Yeah, the whistles were a little tight, you know, on our end. It's hard to really tell what crew is going to come and work the game. And it's we don't get calls, and then we get all the calls, and then we don't get any calls, and then we don't call. It seems feast or famine, it seems like, as far as the whistle goes. And you know, the first, it just sort of seemed like a trudge, and I wanted to see the Wolves break out a little bit more in the first half, seeing that the Suns, like you said, were coming off a bunch of games in a row and one of the worst teams in the Western Conference as far as record-wise goes. But then, you know, the Suns, they were smelling blood, and they came in thinking, well, you know, we may not get many wins, but we could get one here tonight. So they played pretty tough, and you're right, that small lineup did have a little problem. I think that has to do with maybe our lack of, like I said earlier, the front court, the point guard, and the shooting guard positions.
Sure.
Still kind of being in flux and not knowing what's going on. So you go to a small lineup and force that to work against you. It can be pretty tough. I thought we got out and ran the ball pretty well. I thought that shooting-wise, it was pretty good. Cat came on strong. Rose played a really nice game, and what he did in the fourth, I'm sure we'll get to that. But I thought the real key to that game was 17 points from Gibson, just being a strong force down low, kind of a stabilizer in a way to kind of settle everybody down and work towards getting that win in the second half. So overall, it was, like you said, it was a win that we needed. We had to have it, and now we turn around and got the Suns again. So, you know, we go down to their place, and we should win. We need to win. We need to beat the Suns a little bit more definitively to have a little more confidence for the rest of the season. I just don't think you should be struggling against the Phoenix Suns.
Right, and they already beat us earlier this year, so you do want to win the series with them, right? So that means we got to win this next game. You know, Wiggins couldn't buy a bucket or a foul, for that matter. The third quarter started out pretty ugly. I think under 7, it was still 75-72, Wolves down. Then the Suns went on like an 8-0 run, did get it to 83-75, and I thought, oh boy, it's going to work out like the second quarter here where they start to get up by 10 and all that. And Wiggins got fouled on a 3, and we know he's not a good free throw shooter. However, this whole double breath with the ball on his hip free throw line routine needs to be shortened to a dribble and a breath and just shoot the fucking thing. Because you can't, Aaron, have the ball on your hip. You need your form. If anything, breathe and fake the routine. Not fake it, but, you know, do the arm thing. And, okay, let's see the finesse off your wrist. That's fine. You can take deep breaths while you do that. But for me, to not even be all the way set and to have the ball on the hip, literally on the hip, sometimes not even two hands on it, it's like, nah, dude, that's not it. Two breaths, sit there forever. To me, it's too much time. He's got an issue there. I think his best year was 75%. I'll take 75%. That's fine. We'll get over that. But you hear what I'm saying with this Wiggins? Double breath, ball on the hip. What the hell is that?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, like you said, he's shooting 75%. We'll take that. If it ain't broke, then why fix it? What are you doing? Is it attention-seeking? Are you trying to come up with some new style points or ways to shoot? I just don't understand why you don't just take two dribbles, take a breath, and shoot it. You know, like maybe he's trying to add some swag or something. I don't know. But, we could talk for an hour and a half about Wiggins and what we think and what we don't. He's just one of the more frustrating players that I've ever watched. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, I have some theories. I don't want to break into it too far, but you just want consistency. And that is that is the hardest thing to try to find with him, because the nights he'll have, he'll go off for 40, and then the next night he'll have 4 and 2 rebounds. And I think he had, one game this year where he had 2 points and 1 rebound or something. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get, and you just wonder why that is. And now he's doing something with the free throws. I think maybe he's looking to find something. You know, it's anybody's guess, man. I can't explain it, and I don't even want to try, really. It's just, I think you're right. I think he needs to go back to just making the shot and forget about the style points.
And, I really think he did talk about this last season of how you can get in your head a little bit. You can get a little nervous. You can have anxiety on the line when you're missing a lot. Of course, dude, you can see it in a player's face, in their demeanor. That's cool. But why sit on that line longer then? If you're having anxiety, fucking dribble, take a breath, and go then. Let's not sit around and double dribble with the ball on the hip. Like, I can't – I just don't get it. But anyway, let's move on, because like you said, it could be a whole show on Wiggins. If you look at the threes at some point in the third, it was 11-4 for the Suns' advantage. 2 minutes left of the third, actually. They were up 91-80. I'm just like, okay, dude, this is we're going to lose this freaking game, dude. We're going to lose this freaking game. And then Rose to the rescue, sparked us off the bench. I think he got back-to-back buckets late, just going to the hole, got that steal as well. I think he scored 17 points in that quarter, and there was about 5 drives, and he hit 4 of them in a row. We were down by 11 was the highest. Got it down to 96-91. And started the fourth quarter great. The bench played great. Tolliver definitely gave us some quality minutes. We're starting to see that a little bit more in the last week or so, that he's gotten playing time. And they took the lead. Started out 9-0 run. 97-96, now you're like, here we go. And it kind of just lingered really close for the rest of the quarter. And with 4 minutes left, it was 108-104. And Rose finally, they did get a little push there. I think it was an 8-0 run. Rose finally stopped that. And with 2 minutes left, 112-111, Crawford had an N1 after giving up, what do you know, more offensive rebounds. Of course, Wiggins got fouled but missed both of them. Cat did have a nice steal, which led to a bucket and put him up 114-113. There was a turnover pass to Rose. He was fouled with like 30 seconds left. He did miss one to tie it up. Gibson got a great steal. You mentioned Gibson. I really like him. And, I understand that a lot of people say the game is past him, but if you look at his outside shot, I believe it's right about 37% from the three. Doesn't take a whole lot. I just love that they're not going to double and triple him a bunch, you know. But every time you give him the ball in the paint, the percentage of him scoring or getting fouled is very, very high. So that was a big one, big steal. And, you know, I noticed – so he made the steal, did Gibson, called the timeout, and I noticed they had the huddle, and Rose said something to himself or said a quick prayer or something. He said it to himself, you know, right before he stepped basically on the court. And with 0.6 left, he hits that little step back two, and he was really just training those maybe 16, 17-foot, you know, jumpers off the dribble. A lot of them were step backs. 0.6 left, hits the bucket, 29 points in the second half. And D-Rose, there's a great chance that D-Rose, because of his, you know, popularity in general, and he's such a good story, Chicago's such a huge place that he's getting a lot of all-star votes there. Of course, he's getting some here. He's big in China as well, so he's getting votes there. This guy is like seventh in the league right now in votes. It's a great story. It really is. We really, really needed that bucket. It was just nice to see it. And once you have Rose going, he can pass. He can pass. But once he's going with that one-on-one, you know, I like our chances with him, especially off the bench. I don't necessarily like Rose in the starting lineup because he shoots too much. Like he said, he's a tweener. But, man, that was clutch. And down the stretch, he was clutch.
Man, I got to tell you, I hated that shot until it went in. You know, they pulled the four guys out, ran ISO for Rose. I'm thinking, you know, you're quick, man. Get to the bucket. And I was, no, yes. You know, because I just thought, oh, the terrible shot, a little step-back jumper, when you could have beat the guy off the dribble. But, yeah, he made the shot, and it was good to see for the win. And it was too close for comfort, man. It's, with the Phoenix Suns, you should be, you know, you should be winning that game pretty handily. So, you know, it was a tough game, but, you know, we got the W. That's what counts. And moving the record up, you know, we can't keep staying two games under 500. We can't seem to break that. And D. Rose, I'm not sure where his popularity comes from. Is it from Chicago? Is he from Chicago? Is that what the deal is? Because, I mean, it's all over the internet.
And remember, all-star votes are straight up the fans all over the world. So That's what it is. He's huge in China. And remember, he was like the third or fourth most popular player in his prime, and that was not that long ago. So I think it's Chicago, you know, obviously the third biggest city in the country. So Chicago, China, and just the love he had about 6-7 years ago, people really feel bad about how many times he got hurt. Youngest MVP ever. I think that has a lot to do with it, you know, just the love for him. I think that is. And by the way, the Wolves are now 5-8 in two possession games this season after that game. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, think about where we would be without Rose this season. I mean, we'd have literally no star power. Well, we'd have Towns and Wiggins, the enigma that are those two. So I guess half the time we'd have Towns and Wiggins. But, you know, he's really been our star player so far in the season. Since we lost Jimmy, and even right before we lost Jimmy, he's just kind of stepped up and rose. I think he's like the team leader, I would hope. And he's played really, really well for being a comeback player and just kind of being on the scrap heap, getting him off the scrap heap last year. So I thought that without him, like 31 points that night, and he continues to put up good numbers for us. And it's just hard to think where we would be without him, especially now that Tyus is down and we're in some trouble in that position. So I'm glad we got him. I'm real happy with him. I like him as a player. And now I know a little bit more about why he's so popular. He's just really, really popular over the internet. And I never really knew why. I thought maybe he had a lot of love coming out of Chicago, and that just kind of held over. But you're right, with all the injuries and, you know, situations of coming back, I think it's a good story too.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, this stretch we got coming up, man, there's two stretches, okay? The short-term stretch is four games in the next six nights. It doesn't happen as much as it used to because they started the schedule. They started the actual regular season 2 weeks before normally these last 2 years. So it doesn't happen as much, but 4 games in 6 nights. And we're actually last night started a stretch of 9 Western Conference opponents in a row. Obviously important, to say the least. Like we said, we have a game coming up on Phoenix tomorrow. Must win. Then you play the Lakers. Must win because they don't have Bronny. You must beat the Lakers if they don't have Bronny. You could beat them with Bronny, but you got to beat them without Bronny. It's just a must. And then we got these home and homes, just like we have with Phoenix. We got a home and home with Utah. So we got to steal one of those as well. This 4 games, 6 nights is going to be telling. By the time we do the show next Monday, it's going to be really telling where we're at in general. And like you said, it's the fight to 500. Every time we get within 1 point, boom, 2-game losing streak. And it's just got to stop at some point. We've actually had a couple of nice runs this year. We've had a 4- and a 5-game winning streak. But we got to have these next 2 games and then split with Utah, man. I think it's a must as we stand right now, because now, what are we, 3 games out? I think it's 3 games out of that eighth spot. And this next month is important. You know, the February 9th is a trade deadline. Obviously, in upcoming shows, we'll talk about that. But this stretch, man, this is going to say a lot in the short term of where we're at for this year, for trades potentially. When do you, stop trying to win? The whole 9. I mean, this stuff is huge. 9 Western Conference, well, I suppose 8 now in a row. And some winnable games coming up before it gets even more difficult. That's for sure, with Golden State and Denver and OKC again.
Yep, got the Suns, and I think we'll win that game on the road. I think that will probably be the toughest. I think maybe the toughest game besides going to the road to Utah. I think we'll beat the Lakers. If there's ever a game where Cat and Wig are going to be charged up, they'll be playing in L.A., so I'm fairly confident they'll come out and show well for that game. So I think you get through the Suns game, if you can, with a win. Shouldn't be too difficult, but it has been. They beat us, we beat them, so the series with them. I think Rubio's still out with the Jazz. Don't think he'll be back, so that kind of changes the outlook there. And the Jazz are kind of playing like we are. They haven't had the greatest year. So you get a chance to maybe go, 3 out of the 4, possibly 4 out of the 4. And if you can do that, then you're in pretty good shape and makes the trade deadline look a little bit differently, as opposed if you go 2-2, 1-3, maybe you start thinking about moving some guys. I don't think quite yet, but, you're right. At the end of the next month, you start to think about, do we try to make the lottery? Do we try to go forward and try to make the playoffs? You kind of have to make that decision in that month. It'd be nice to get up above 500 at the end of these 4 games. And I think it's a distinct possibility we could be 1 game up, and that would change the outlook a little bit going into the next month.
Yeah, it definitely would, man. And anything else Timberwolves-wise before we get into these beloved Minnesota Gophers?
No, I think we'll see how that week goes, but let's talk about this Illinois game. That was another infuriating game. I thought they'd play better. I didn't necessarily think they'd win. I kind of thought they'd lay an egg on the road, but I did not see 95-68 and just thoroughly getting killed and ran out of the gym by a lower team in the Big Ten. Now, they could come on and win a few games because they're not a terrible team. They just haven't really come together yet, and neither have we. We're still a little bit – still got problems at the point guard position, and that's starting to be a bigger problem than I had thought it would be. And it kind of showed there, and we didn't really have an answer. We tried Washington. We tried the kid from Stahl, I think his name is. We tried a lot of different options.
Yep.
And we just couldn't get anything going, and we weren't getting calls. And that sort of compounded. We weren't making shots. Turu was our leading scorer with 17 points. Murphy had a bad game. Everybody just had a bad game. So I'm going to chalk it up to laying an egg, although we didn't come back that well against Penn State.
Yeah, that's a good point. That, I mean, 51 points in the first half. That's a 20-minute game. I mean, or 20-minute half, whatever. It was just despicable. 51 points you give up? Arturo showed up. Washington off the bench actually had a decent game, but it didn't matter. We were out of the game. You know, we still gave up 44 in the second half. Yeah, we put up 40, great, but you still gave up 44. It's just, and you're right, Illinois is a better, that was their first win in conference play, but that was only their fifth win overall. You know, sure, they could be a little better, but Jesus Christ, they got 5 wins on the season. Like, you can't go in there and just think that you're going to win like that. Like, you got to take it, and you got to take it by the balls. And we talk about this on the College Ball Show, too. It's hard to win on the road in college basketball, especially in a high-profile, you know, conference, which is the Big Ten. But you got to be ready way more than that. This team defensively is not as strong as the last couple of years. It doesn't look like a Patino consistent defensive team. That was just bad, man. That was bad. Was that the worst loss in young Patino's the Patino era? I'd have to say it was. I mean, what else was worse than that? A 4-win team just get smashed, curb stomped, like I said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, they just got smashed. And I mean, it seemed like down that it didn't start off well, and then that got in their heads, and then it didn't continue well, and then it just kind of became this downward spiral of a game. And they started asking for calls a little too much, so therefore they weren't getting the calls. And they just got out-physicaled. And the defensive presence, like you said, it isn't there. They haven't gelled together on that. And I don't think they brought, like, just the kind of toughness. Now, you're starting a few freshmen, which, you know, you can kind of say that's an excuse. They're not quite used to the way the Big Ten is, and then maybe they're learning. But, you know, I kind of put that up. I said, okay, well, that was a terrible loss in Illinois. Maybe you learn a lesson, although we did kind of get run by Ohio State earlier in the same sort of way. Maybe not the difference in the score, but, you know, it's the physical teams. You know, so when you face a Michigan State where they're just going to pound you, you know, it makes me kind of wonder about what the future holds. Michigan's not as physical, but they're pretty physical too, and I think the physicality needs to go up. And I was expecting maybe to come out and you'd run Penn State and kind of get everything right, but it didn't work out that way. And you're just sweating a shot, a wide open shot at the end of the game to win it for Penn State. And luckily they missed it. And you could see the relief on Patino's face when that shot didn't go in. I think he thought it was going to go in, and he just looked like he was sweating bullets out there. And I would be too, because the way the media would have handled him losing those two games. We said before you wanted to go 3-1 during that 4-game stretch. And we ended up going 2-2, which is livable, but the wins didn't come where we thought they'd come, and the losses didn't come where we thought they'd come. And now you're just kind of left thinking, well, you know, we had a lot of high hopes for this team at now 14-4. Now you're wondering how we're going to get through this Big Ten schedule and possibly make the tournament.
Going to be a grind. There's no doubt about it. And the road in general, I mean, at home, sure. Pretty damn good club. I think it'll improve as we go, especially when the bigger names come in. That place gets loud. I will say this. The other night in that cold weather, I heard Patino after the game say, I don't really want to tell you to, like, say on camera what the temperature is right now because recruits may be watching. But to get 11,000-plus in that night, on Sunday night in that cold, with the, you know, football going on and everything, that was nice. But back to the road. Now, neutral site, hey, we're fine. We're loosey-goosey on a different country. Yeah, we can do that. Neutral site, no problem. Home, no problem. Road, whole host of problems. That Boston College game, 68-56, it felt worse than that score-wise. It felt more like the 79-59 loss that we just got beat up early December at Ohio State. And now we did get a big, big win against Wisconsin, who just beat Michigan, just in time for us to play them too, by the way. That totally takes the potential upset out of the way, because now they're focused again. But then to get the worst loss, maybe, well, I'd say in his era, but the Patino era, but the worst loss of the season comes against probably one of the worst, well, the not the worst, I don't know, somewhere in there as far as, you know, Power Five. Oh, God, we got to improve on the road, and here we go. We got to play Michigan now. So, I don't know, but as far as that game, thank God they were able to stop the bleeding, but we were still bleeding out for a lot of that game. Like you said, they came out fast as hell. We came out a tad slow, and what do you know? We're down 10 points. And you know, they got like 10, 12 points in the freaking paint. In fact, I got notes here. 12-minute mark, we're down by 10 already. It seems like Murphy and Curry. Curry had a bad game, now has bounced back a little bit, a couple of games back. Murphy and Curry are playing well on both sides of the ball. They were able to cut it and make a run with 4 minutes left of that first half, got it to 26-23. But then, you know, second half, what do you know? Down 44-34, 3 minutes in, and you're like, dude, McBrayer and Coffey didn't shoot well. But they did get to the free throw line, I'll say that. Finally, the Gophers started to improve on defense, and that kind of sparked a rally. Got it to 48-44, 13 minutes left, and you're like, okay, guys, this is it, man. This is it. You got to make your stand. You got to stop the bleeding. And we respond with, oh, Penn State makes a little run out of the timeout. It's 51-44. You're thinking right for the 12-minute timeout, TV timeout. It's like, Jesus. You know, luckily, we made another run, 10-3, got it to 51-50, 9 minutes left. Now, Arturo had a nice stretch of minutes down the line or down the way of the game. And Murphy closed very, very strong and had a monster game. I mean, Murphy, thank God for Murphy in that game. And he needed to break out. And even Patino was talking about this at his presser, saying sometimes a couple years ago, Murphy would kind of get lost in having to get his post game going. And sometimes he'll get, you know, doubled and tripled. A lot of times he may, you know, lose the ball or whatever. I guess lately he's been trying to establish it with not as much success as he wants. And Patino's like, just forget that, dude. I remember saying this a couple years ago, just forget about it. Just do you. And what do you know? 19 points led the team. Led the team with 21 rebounds. That's a whole lot of rebounds in general, but in a 40-minute game, that's ridiculous. He didn't stop there, Aaron. Team high, 6 assists. Team high, 3 blocks and 3 steals to go along with a monster dunk there I wouldn't say to make it comfortable, that's for sure. Thank God Penn State. Now, some of that had to do with defense, but Penn State did shoot, you know, pretty bad in the second half. They still had defense, though, hitting shots like late. Tough shots late in the clock. That was another thing. So it was 61-61 with 2:40 left. That replay that they were the replay they didn't even need to do, it took forever. I remember right. I remember that part. And you know that basically Murphy called the called game in a sense. He ended up getting to go up 64-61 with that dunk. Of course. No, Lamar Stevens come back with a bucket and one. And here we are, 64-61. And McBrayer did get tripped, got a foul, got one of them. But like you said, that Lamar Stevenson just barely missed it to go ahead. And so we got it done. We stopped the bleeding. We're sixth in the Big Ten. We're okay. We are okay. We need to win one of these two games. I mean, at Michigan, it's going to be a tough task. It's a tall order. You can't really just assume, especially, you know, with Wisconsin having just knocked them off, giving their first, you know, defeat of the year. There's no way they're not going to be tuned in when they play us tomorrow night. But that game on Sunday, I believe. Is it Sunday? Yes, it's Sunday. Iowa at home. So we got back-to-back ranked teams. Iowa is up to 19. You know, I'm not just giving up the Michigan game like here, have it. Like, I understand if we lose, but they must show up and play and try to stay within single digits throughout the game because they just need it for that. We talked about how, you know, beating Phoenix this next time for the Wolves, just a confidence standpoint that you know you're better than that team, go beat them. Just stay with them and show some pride on the road for once besides Madison.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm not just going to give the game to Michigan either, although I think they will win. But it'd be nice to see the Gophers go down and play tough and have a little fire. You know, I'm sick of watching these squads come out and not play, you know, consistently with the kind of energy that you need to win games. It seems like a lot of these squads are just coming out and, you know, walking through it. It just, you can't win like that, especially now with this crowded Big Ten who could get 10 teams in the tournament. Everybody's good. Night in, night out, home or away, you've got to come out and play consistently and, you know, have an identity as a team. And I don't think this squad does yet. I think starting to form that, and, of course, we're still pretty early in the season, but, you know, it's getting later and later every day. And Michigan's tough. Now, they lost to Wisconsin in the Kohl Center. I can see where that, you know, like, again, that's a tough place to play. Every call
right.
goes Wisconsin's way. So, you know, it's tough to say what kind of win that was for Wisconsin, but you need Wisconsin to keep winning because we beat them. So, you know, I like Michigan in this game. I think they're going to win. I'd really like to see the Gophers come in and make a statement, but I just don't see that coming after Michigan lost to Wisconsin. I think you're right. I think they're going to be tuned up and ready to go. I hope we don't get ran out of the gym on that one. Let's hope we keep it close. Within 10 is probably where you want to be because even Pitino said he's not sure of what the criteria is for the tournament this year. He kind of threw that out there. Said, is it record?
Just about to bring
that up. Is it how we're playing? Yep. And so we don't really know. Now, Iowa's tough. And going into that game, you know, it's a rivalry. And Iowa's always tough, rivalry or not. They just play us tough, and we play them tough. So hopefully that'll be a game with a lot of energy, a home game. Hopefully we can win that one. But you're right. We've got to win one of these next two to feel comfortable. If you lose them both, it's starting to look like a downward spiral. Yeah, you win them both, and, you know, the sky's the limit. Get the split on it. I think that it'll at least be good enough. Now, I think we might get the win against Iowa. It depends on how they come up to play, but you know, you got to have one of them, and I think that's your best chance at Iowa.
We are going to talk a little bit about that at some point as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, the new net rating where they care about you smashing a bad team. There's a 10-point cap system that if you beat a team by 10, like just some weird stuff. You look at NC State and where they're ranked. If you look at their non-conference and their strength of schedule, their non-conference strength of schedule is just, it's 350 out of 353, but yet they were at 31 because they had beaten, you know, a bad team really bad or really good, I guess you could say. So we are going to talk about this new net rating. The RPI is out, this new net neutrality. I don't know what they're doing here, but we got quad systems. We got quad systems. We got a new net, quad one, quad two, quad three. This is the new matrix. I don't know what the hell's going on, but we're gonna have to obey. So let's see. Let's see what we do here. I don't know. But that game with Iowa – it's crucial, man, to be able to get a rank under our belt. Washington's looking really good right now. Let's hope and pray and knock on wood. They're 4-0. Please win the Pac-12. Please win the Pac-12. But yeah, Iowa's won 5 in a row. They lost to Purdue, which Purdue, you know, they have Edwards, and then they have some youth and some veterans that didn't play a whole lot the last 3 years of their really solid run of Purdue basketball. A lot of those guys are either in the pros or, you know, playing somewhere, not there. And so it took them a little while, Purdue, long story short, to get to my point, to get their stuff together. Now they have, I believe they're fourth right now. They're looking a lot better, but that was their last loss. That was their first conference game, or at least of the year. And now they're on a nice little run. You know, they beat Nebraska, beat Northwestern, beat Ohio State, beat Penn State, and beat Illinois. And they beat Illinois like Illinois beat us. You know what I mean? It's so they're playing a really good ball, and they have a spread team generally, solid players. They'll have one or two guys that kind of stand out, but they're just a solid club, well-coached. Like you said, it is a rivalry game. And there actually was a caller on that I was going to maybe go to, but they hadn't pressed one. So 717, if you're on, you want to talk, you know, feel free. If not, you just want to show that's true. That's cool, too. Did notice, we talked about the small lineup that Phoenix used on the Timberwolves. Well, I noticed Curry in Washington in that Penn State game. And that is a lineup, well, we're going to see more in the future as far as next year, but that was an interesting lineup. And it added a little bit more, I think that we're going to see a little bit more of that lineup. Washington was moving the ball, pushing the ball. Wasn't so, you know, wasn't Coffee and McBrayer weren't so, like, paying attention to run the offense where they could be a little bit more freer. Because, like I said, they weren't hitting their outside shots, but they kept getting to the rack. And I do think Washington's been playing good in spurts. We just need him to be instant energy right away, and he is figuring out his game. It's taken him a little while. I know locally a lot of people are down on him. Anytime you're Mr. New York City, you know, you're going to get some hype with you. But he has played pretty good this year. But, yeah, with Curry and nothing against Arturo, who's played good lately. But I did notice that lineup had some success and really kept us in that Penn State game. But that Iowa game, to say must win this early, but it's pretty damn close to it. It'd be a really good win, because then the next game, a couple days later actually, would be Illinois at home. And you know we're going to be chomping at the bit. Oh, well, at least we hope. Anything else like to discuss about a couple of items here with the Gophers, our Gophers?
You know, they better be chomping at the bit to see Illinois again. If they're not, we got some serious issues. You know, I'm still a little bit, as far as the Gophers go, we've got to solve this point guard position. Now, you brought up Washington, and I'm not quite sure what the problem there is, if Patino's asking him to do something that's sort of out of his wheelhouse, or if he just can't fold into what Patino wants him to do. I kind of keep an eye on him, trying to watch him and see, you know, maybe there's some strain there or what. You know, his pacing's a little bit off. He needs to know when to slow down and speed up. I think that's an issue with him. His shooting, and overall, you know, the whole team's shooting, both free throws and field goals, really needs to improve. They're not shooting well right now. They need to get that back. And, you know, three-point shots will come if you can just improve your shooting a little bit, but like you don't have a lot of time to get it right with how competitive the Big Ten is. So you got to really come out and work on that. Now, Washington, to me, you really need, if we're going to have a run in the tournament or even make the tournament, we're going to need him to step in and fill that spot at some point. He's got to come around this season for that to happen, because we just don't have a lot of options. Coffee, I think that's what Illinois did really well, was handle and defend him really, really well. Yep. He couldn't get inside. He couldn't drive, and they really cut him off, which was smart defensively. So we need a guy like Washington. Now, what I would ask Washington to do would be to come in and run the game, and I don't care if he shoots or not. Don't shoot. Don't do anything. Pace the game. Keep it under control. Get your guys into the sets that they need to get in. Get back on defense. Those kind of things, the smaller points of being a point guard before you shoot it. And I think that's what he's having a hard time doing. I think you see his watch is kind of wound up a little tight, and he needs to kind of pull it back and just slow down and think a little bit more. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of New York City point guards, always have been, Kenny Anderson and so forth. And he was good like that at Georgia Tech. And then he needed to kind of take a step back. And, you know, I think that Washington will get there eventually, but we need that to hurry up now. Because now we're in a spot not getting Trey Jones, which I thought was maybe the spot that we thought he was going to come in and play. We left a spot open for him in case he wanted to come. And so now Washington's in there, and we don't have Trey Jones. And now Trey Jones is hurt, but that's a different story. I think we need to get – Washington really needs to assume the non-scoring, aggressive, I guess, maybe not be so aggressive, point guard role, and just sort of be a facilitator and get the team through. Otherwise, we're in really big trouble at the point guard position, Chris, and I think it's really starting to show.
Yeah, especially in the Big Ten, especially when the game slows down. You're right, no doubt about it. And, you know, maybe I'm not feeling as bad, being that it's almost a week ago and I put it in my rear view with that Philly loss. Philly's up 92-63, end of the third quarter, or basically the end of the third quarter, against a smoking hot Houston team, or at least James Harden has been on fire lately. This guy, what is it, 15 in a row, 30-point games? Wow, this guy's crazy. But, hey, it's not that bad. It's not that they're getting beat by 29. So maybe they can add 20 points to that, and they can get another 40. And it can make a – okay, I'm reaching. I think it's about time to shut this thing down. How about some Kelscher threes? Can we get Gabe involved? Can we get that guy involved? He sure was involved early in the season, wasn't he? I mean, he had, what, five or six threes early in that first half of those tournament games? Like, we need some Kelscher, because that guy, you get him going, he can hit a three. He's just been off ever since Big Ten play, really.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing, like I said about the shooting. Like, he's just been off, too, and when we have one shooter and he's not making shots, that's a problem. And I know McBrayer's been hitting a few of them, which is good, but you want to see Kelscher get his stroke back and start to make shots with a little bit more consistency. I think that's another part of the backcourt right now is just the issue. If we can get that tuned up and get playing in the Big Ten, I think that things will start going a little bit more our way. You got a big test with Michigan. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, he needs to shoot the ball better. They all need to shoot the ball better. Murphy's good inside. Kind of compared Murphy and Taj Gibson as sort of similar players for what they should be and what they do for their team.
Sure.
Kind of steady in the post, kind of old school power forwards, rebounds, and quick moves. So I think, you know, a little undersized, a lot of grit, and I think that's what you need for Big Ten players. Now, Oturu's got to toughen up, you know, because we're hitting that stretch, like you said, Michigan State, tough teams with a lot of experience. And if you can't get one of these two, Chris, it's going to be pretty rough to get some more going forward.
Yeah, that's it, man. This is a big week in basketball for Minnesota fans, man. And we're going to know, you know, I titled, part of my title is the sky falling, question mark. Well, we're going to know if the sky is falling on our Minnesota basketball scene. I'd say by next week, almost. I mean, I'm not the knee-jerk type of guy, but four games, six nights, and then a need to go 1-1, you know, in these games for the Gophers. Monday is going to be very telling on the Living in Loserville podcast, man.
Yeah, it really is. And hopefully we have good things to talk about, because the opposite of that is not going to be fun at all.
Yeah, it's going to be a 22-minute show, and we're just going to sign off. Go fuck yourselves. Have a good week. Because, you know, it's going to be one of those. All right, you got anything else, sir, before we get the hell out of here?
Nope, we'll just look forward to see what's coming this week, and wish both squads good luck.
There we have it. Okay, that is Aaron and Chris signing off from the Living, well, from Loserville. Living in Loserville podcast. Enjoy the games. Let me coach the team. Just enjoy the games. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, when you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, that made it. That will show you it's this. So I'm gonna get every dollar worth of what I deserve. Why? Because I'm the world champion.